Good morning with KUAC News. I'm Dan Bross. The state reported 13 new cases of COVID-19 yesterday. The new positives, 4 in Anchorage, 1 in Juneau, 1 in the North Slope Borough, 2 in Homer, 1 each in Kenai and Nikiski, plus 3 in other Kenai Peninsula Borough communities, equate to a one-day total that's the highest in over a month. During an online town hall meeting last night, Governor Dunleavy tried to allay any fears about the sudden spike.
We'll continue to monitor this situation. From our perspective, there's no cause for alarm with these numbers. Plenty of hospital capacity.
The governor said the state will continue to do its part to investigate every new case.
Tracking and tracing to make sure that we can help folks that may have been exposed to the virus.
Alaska's chief medical officer, Dr. Ann Zink, said increased testing across the state may play a role in the sudden case bump, but she highlighted the Kenai region cluster.
Really kind of emphasizes the point of the virus circulating, and we're really seeing that area lighting up at the moment.
Dr. Zink said the cases are still being investigated, but so far do not appear to be connected. In a press release, Dr. Zink adds that Alaskans should take this news as an important reminder that the virus is still with us and that we should not ease up on protective actions. Alaska Department of Health and Social Services data shows that nearly 48,000 COVID-19 tests have been conducted with a less than 1% positive rate. A state division of forestry plane crashed in Aniak yesterday. Forestry spokesperson Tim Mowry says the pilot and 3 passengers, all firefighters from Hooper Bay and Aniak, who were headed to a state wildfire base in Soldotna, survived the accident.
The plane crashed shortly after takeoff from the Aniak airport. And fortunately, all 4 people were able to get out, suffered injuries, serious but non-life-threatening injuries. And they were medevaced to Anchorage.
A state trooper report says the state-owned plane, an Air Commander 500, crashed into a pool of water in a gravel pit. Mowry says the aircraft is a total loss and the wreckage has been secured. The accident is being investigated by the National Transportation Safety Board. The return of about 200 Stryker Brigade soldiers who'd been scheduled to arrive today at Fairbanks International Airport has been delayed. An Army spokesperson said last night the Fort Wainwright-based soldiers will instead be arriving later this weekend. The Strykers are returning from 9 months of duty in Iraq, Syria, and Kuwait. The flight arriving this weekend will be the first of several that'll bring back a total of about 2,000 soldiers who'd been deployed. Faced with mounting budget deficits, University of Alaska leaders are proposing merging UA Southeast-based programs in Juneau, Ketchikan, and Sitka into either the Anchorage or Fairbanks campus operations. UA President Jim Johnson addressed the cost-saving option during an online press conference yesterday.
We've exhausted the little stuff in large part. Now we need to start looking at larger reductions.
Johnson described the University of Alaska Southeast merge as a transformative structural change that could yield significant savings.
Depending on the degree to which the UAS, the current operations are merged with either UAA or UAF, you could gain a lot. North of 15 million.
Johnson said UAS is targeted for merge because it's the smallest of UA's 3 institutions and 50% of its students are enrolled online.
They're already not on the campus every day.
While the merge may be practical, Johnson acknowledged resistance, emphasizing the merge would not shut down Southeast campuses.
Nobody's talking about closure. That's not a word that is on anybody's mind.
We will never stop fighting for our 3 separately accredited universities.
Heather Batchelder is president of the Faculty Senate at the University of Alaska Southeast. She says the university has a responsibility to maintain its stature in the region.
We have such diverse economies and cultures across Alaska, and in order to meet the diverse needs of our state, we need to keep our university in our capital city.
The merge option rose to the top during a Board of Regents mandated expedited review of cost-saving options, citing state funding cuts, declining enrollment, and pandemic budget hits. President Johnson provided updated deficit numbers.
The gap is $24.8 million. And in FY22, so next year, the gap ranges from $11.3 million to $36.3 million.
Johnson said the FY22 range reflects numerous variables, including enrollment, which currently is projected to be down about 20%. The UAS merge is the largest of several FY22 cost-cutting options up for consideration by UA regents, who hold a board meeting next week. Johnson says they're expected to approve an FY21 budget that includes the elimination or reduction of 50 academic programs and consider tapping reserve funds to cover the coming year's deficit. He says regents may also provide direction on the UAS merge and other FY22 cost-saving options. Only 49% of households in the Fairbanks North Star borough have responded to the U.S. Census. Officials worry this puts the area at risk for poor representation and government funding in the next decade. As KUAC's Robin reports, the pandemic has forced a change in strategy to get residents to complete the 10-question census form.
If you went to see a movie in Fairbanks in February or early March, among the previews, you might have seen three mayors pitching census participation.
It's about making sure that we're all fairly represented at the city, the borough, the state, and the national level.
It's about getting an accurate distribution of federal funding.
It's about making sure that we know how many residents live in our community.
That was Fairbanks City Mayor Jim Matherly, Fairbanks North Star Borough Mayor Bryce Ward, and North Pole City Mayor Mike Welch. But as big gatherings in the local theater became a disease threat, the Complete Count Committee came up with new strategies.
So we've actually been doing some kind of creative things.
Alicia Childs is the Complete Count Coordinator. She and a committee of interested citizens had some handout materials made up, such as fanny packs, phone holders, letter openers, and dry bags for canoeing and kayaking.
We had about 100 of them. Sportsman's Warehouse actually was really kind and took them with little census forms inside of them and handed them out. We had little canvas bags and we put little activity books and colored pencils in them. We gave those to the school district and they handed them out to the kids getting lunches through them.
The Complete Count Committee wants Alaskans to fill out the 10 questions on the census, but people are waiting for an invitation, which they're expecting in the mail. And a lot of local households do not receive mail at their homes.
Fairbanks has a much higher P.O. box culture than other places in the country where it's easier to get mail at your house.
So census workers were out dropping off invitations at people's homes. Then the pandemic hit.
They had to halt operations before they had really gotten any out. And they've only just restarted. And so not every household in the borough has received their invitation.
But Child says you don't have to wait. You can just go online at my2020census.gov. For those who can't access the online form, the census can be completed over the phone at 844-330-2020. In Fairbanks, I'm Robin.
A weaker-than-expected return of Copper River sockeye salmon kept the commercial fishery on the River Delta closed this week, but the state still plans to hold the season's first opening of the popular personal-use upriver dipnet fishery at Chittenden next week. Area management biologist Mark Somerville says fish counts have been about half of what was expected, but there's still enough for subsistence fishing and a limited initial dipnet opening.
We're still not sure if we're looking at a late run or if we're looking at a reduced size of a run for sockeye salmon. The first personal use opener is going to be on the 7th, and it's going to be for 24 hours. The preseason schedule for the week following that shows the entire week would be open, but looking at the sonar at this point, I think that's going to be a shorter week, anywhere from 2 to 4 days rather than a full week.
Somerville says sockeye runs this late are pretty rare. He says the much smaller Copper River Chinook stock initially appeared to be coming back closer to forecast, but those counts recently slowed as well. I'm Dan Bross.